Welcome to Stories of Hope. This is a podcast by the Dream Center,
where you will hear from people who have stories that once seemed hopeless.
People whose stories of redemption and life transformation are so powerful, they can only be possible by the power of Jesus. Hey guys, welcome back to Stories of Hope. I'm Brady here as always and alongside with Sarah.
Hello guys.
And today we are joined by one of the new members of our team, Hannah Boston. Hannah, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's going to be fun. Hannah is, what is your exact role?
So my title is Administrative Scheduling Specialist.
That's right. That's right.
So basically I schedule all of the truck pickups for furniture items for the resale stores.
Amazing. How did you hear about the Dream Center to begin with? Like, how did you kind of get connected with?
So I actually applied on Indeed, and originally I applied for OV, and then they had this position open up, and I was like, cool, sounds great.
Yeah.
So,
and now you get to sit up with Miss Joni every day and have the time of your life
talking to I love her.
All of our donors and resale store people, which is amazing.
Me just sitting with Miss Joni all day, it's like, that's just like the biggest perk. Yeah. Biggest perk in the world.
I
love her.
It is a huge win.
Yeah.
A really big win. So let's get rolling. We'd love to kind of just hear a little bit about your story, your testimony as a whole. Just kind of get to tell everybody kind of where you've been in life to this point.
Okay. Yeah. So I grew up in kind of hopping the line between North and South Carolina. My dad's always worked in South Carolina, but we hopped the line between North and South. Both my parents are from North Carolina. So I grew up in church my whole life. My parents got saved right before they had me. And then I kind of ended up I was homeschooled most of my life, which everyone loves to make fun of.
Okay. But also you can't tell that you were homeschooled. So people who make fun of it, come on now, like, you know, come on.
Well, the reason that you can't tell.
That's very funny.
I finished out my last 2 years at Christian small schools, private schools. So I graduated in class of five. So a lot better than homeschooled.
Right.
And then I went to a Bible college in Columbia, South Carolina. And so I have a degree in intercultural studies and a Bible degree as well. And then I have a certificate in teaching English as a foreign language.
Okay.
Wow.
So I spent 6 years kind of traveling different times, like not for full years. But for months at a time, I would go overseas and teach English as a foreign language as a missionary. So I've been to lots of different countries and lots of different places. Lebanon, Cambodia, Thailand, Peru.
I was just about to ask, like what part of the world did you travel the most to?
I've been a little bit of everywhere.
Wow.
The place I really want to go next is Europe, but I just haven't haven't gotten there yet. I'd love to do that again at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, so finished college. I taught for 4 years. I was a kindergarten teacher.
You've lived so much life in 26 years.
Yeah.
You're like blown out, and we've talked about like what all you've done, but even now I'm sitting here like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You've been everywhere. This is crazy.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. And I never expected to do any of this. Yeah. So I graduated high school and didn't know I wanted to go to college after I graduated, and after I graduated high school, decided to start looking to go to school that fall. Right. Cause that's what you do. Right?
Yeah.
Never crossed my mind to think about it before that. Like, so one of my best friends that I went to my junior year with, told me she was going to Columbia International, which is where I went to school. And she was like, yeah, that's where I'm going. We hadn't really talked in a year, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna check it out. So I did, and I ended up kind of following her there, and that's where I got my degree. But I actually didn't get approved to go to school until 3 days before we had to be there.
Whoa.
So I spent the whole summer stressing out, like,
love that,
figuring out what I was doing. But yeah, so I taught adult English for a little bit, for non-English speakers, which was a lot of fun. And I worked with refugees when I lived in Colombia. And when I went to Lebanon, that's what I did. I've worked in a refugee camp as an English teacher for 3 weeks, and in a little metal container, like with a fan and a window.
Jeez.
It's like basically like an 18-wheeler.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Type deal.
Gosh.
But yeah, so that was a lot of fun, and I loved it. So then I came back and I was like, well, maybe I want to teach like kids, like maybe I don't want to teach adults, because that's what I thought I was going to do up until that point. So then I got into a private school in Columbia and taught kindergarten for a year there. And then I met my fiance on Hinge.
Okay. Okay.
And I ended up moving to Greenville from Columbia. Wow. And then I taught kindergarten for a year, and then I taught 2-year-olds for 2 years. Yeah.
This is blowing my mind. You've taught so much. This is crazy. I love it. That's so cool.
Well, it all kind of leads up to one point. So it's kind of interesting. Like, now looking back on it, like, I see a lot of like steps that got me to where I'm at now, right?
Yeah.
I have always loved being around kids. I have a sister who's 12 years younger than me. So I was 18 when she came into our house, and she was five. Right. We graduated the same year, as she likes to say.
Yeah.
So I've always been around kids. Yeah. All my cousins are older. They all have children, like just lots of kids everywhere. Like, my wedding, 65 of the 125 people are kids. Like,
oh, wow.
Holy Toledo. That's insane.
Wow.
Cause everybody has kids. But that's what's kind of cool, is like, it led me up to this point where I met Aaron. And he was married before and has 2 children from a previous marriage, and they're 10 and 8, both girls. And I never, ever thought that that's the situation I would be in, right? Like, I was 23 when we met. I had just graduated college. Like, not at all what I expected. But it's been great, and it's kind of prepared me, like, for step-parenthood.
Right.
So it's really cool how, like, all of that kind of led up to it. But, yeah, so I taught for a little bit, and then I got into real estate for a year, and now I'm here.
Amazing. Just another little swing of...
another little fun thing you've done.
I have done all kinds of things, and honestly, like, all of it is such a good learning experience.
Tony had to have,
like,
taken half a day to read your resume when you...
Poor thing. I don't know what he did when he saw my resume.
How many pages is
that? Yeah, right.
It's just one.
Just one. Wow.
Just bullet points.
Started at Chick-fil-A, then it's like overseas teaching, and then real estate.
That's incredible. Wow. Shout out to Tony. Good job.
Yeah.
I'd love to kind of hear also, like, what did your, like, journey with the Lord through all of this? Like, I'm sure not every season was a high.
No.
You know, like, I'm sure there were times where it was super, especially being overseas. You know, I've done a couple trips to where it's like, okay, Lord, it is hard to see you fully with what's going on around me and everything. And so I'd love to kind of just hear what that looked like.
Yeah. So I officially became a believer when I was 4. Okay. So I've kind of been, I've been in church my whole life and everything, but college was a different experience. Mm-hmm. I think it is for everyone. You leave the house, you're away from your parents and your siblings, you get freedom.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do I do?
Right.
And I did go to a Bible college. And so we had like prayer days where we got to take off time and like from our schoolwork and actually like just sit and pray. And like missionaries came and talked about all their stuff. And, so really cool experience with college, but all of our professors the whole time we were in college were like, don't let the Bible become a textbook. Don't let it become a textbook. Make sure that it is still the living word of God to you. And through college, that wasn't hard because we went to chapel every day and we had, you know, there's lots of like spiritual mentoring.
Right.
And then you leave college and you're like, I don't have any responsibilities other than taking care of myself and making sure my rent gets paid. Like, so I definitely went through a period of lows, and honestly, until this job, I felt like it was a low until that point.
Wow.
And I love my church here. Like, we're very involved. I just kind of recently got involved with them in the past year. I have a great Bible study group and, have done like counseling and stuff through the church, which is really cool. But yeah, definitely, like, it's so interesting because the desire was always there to have the strong spiritual relationship and like, but it was so hard to maintain.
Yeah.
And life gets busy and it like throws you out of all your routines.
Right.
But when I was overseas, it was difficult because every time I've been overseas, I've gotten like severely ill, like hospitalized ill. So when I went to Lebanon, all of the like hookah and just like the smoke and the air pollution really got to me, and I got bronchitis, and so I couldn't teach for a week out of the 3. And that was really hard because I was like, I traveled all this way, I took all this time off, like, I had, like, you know, this is what I'm here for. And it was so... I am not the kind of person that, like, I don't... if I'm sick, I will work through it.
And you're gonna push through.
Yeah. it wasn't possible right. at that point. Like yeah. I literally laid in bed for 3 days and like wasn't sure what Jeez. Was going to happen. And I actually like on the way back, I ended up getting really sick on the plane and we had to go to an emergency care, like in the airport in Qatar when we landed. And I don't know what they gave me, but I was out the whole 15 hour flight back.
Like, oh, that's kind of nice.
Wow. It was a really good nap. It was perfect. I just remember someone like shaking me and being like, we're in Chicago. You have to get off the plane. Oh. I was like, oh my God.
Thought we were still in Qatar. Whoops.
Yep. And when I went to Peru, I got sick too, from being in a house that it wasn't mine and
right.
don't know how, what I got or what, but I had like some kind of virus when I got back and got super sick and had to be hospitalized. Jeez. My mom finally was like, you cannot go overseas anymore. Like every time you come back, we end up at the hospital.
Right.
And that's kind of like, I took a break from it for a while and I do hope to go back. And actually my fiance and I have decided like at some point mm-hmm. we would like to do that, like short-term trips.
Right.
Right now with the kids being young, like that's just really hard.
Yep.
But we'd love to do that, like even if we just went over for like a month to do care, like just, you know, proactive care for
yeah.
For missionaries who are full time on the field. That would be really cool. Mm. But yeah, so definitely have had highs and lows yeah. throughout the spiritual journey. But it's so interesting having this job here. Like my third day on the job, I was talking to this lady who was asking me questions about donating, but she wasn't really sure if she wanted to or like if she was ready yet. Mm-hmm. And so it was really cool. I got to like talk to her and I don't know, I just felt something that was like, you need to ask her if you can pray for her. So it was really neat when I was down in the facilities area before I moved up behind Joni. Yeah. Like I got to pray with this lady, just like she was having a really rough day and it was obvious like she was on the verge of tears and I wasn't sure mm-hmm. what was going on. She didn't really tell me, but like I got to pray with somebody on the phone and like I've never had like a work situation where it's like that's what you're here for.
Yeah, right,
right?
Yeah.
Like we get to do that and now it's really cool. Like I get to sit in the office and like someone got saved in class the other day and she came and like rang the bell. Yeah. And so it was really cool. Like so I find it like really encouraging and like it strengthened my faith for sure, but like how much more does it strengthen the faith of those who walk through our doors,
right,
who are just beginning or you know
yeah.
maybe don't even know where their journey begins yet, you know. Yeah. So that's really cool and I love that part of it.
That's what's cool too is that Catherine is the one who got saved yeah. the other day, and I mean she's been at least coming for a year
right.
but I think way longer than that. I think she's been around for a while, so even just to see that it's not about like, you know, we understand that it may not be the first time to the door.
No.
It may not be the first Bible study class they come to, but the and that's why we're here, and that's like what we want to do is be consistent and help actually like bring the kingdom of God to this community as
yeah,
a whole.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we see it like people come first day and it's
right.
like meet Jesus and we get to celebrate, or it's a couple of years in and then finally they're like, okay, I've seen it enough, I'm starting to understand, it's time
yeah.
to like take that plunge.
Yeah.
So very, very, very cool.
I love that. So with your missionary work and going overseas and traveling and then coming here and doing a little bit more of like an office type job, but I said you taught for a while.
Yeah.
what was like that transition like for you of like, you know, being like doing more like face-to-face type work versus more like Google Calendar yeah, work?
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. Honestly, in some ways it's easier.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm on the phone.
Yeah, right.
So you can't see my facial expressions.
right.
But, I don't know. It's really cool. Like I personally have like seen a lot of growth in myself with that in, because I'm on the phone, I can be a little more bold and it's not so like there's no big reaction or anything
yeah.
because it's a phone conversation.
Right.
So it's cool in that way, like to be, like I get to have these cool conversations and also I just get to be really nice to people. Cause a lot of times like people call and they're grumpy and like they want this done today.
Right.
And I can't help them with that. But what I yeah. can do is give them other resources. And,
right.
So it's really cool. And honestly, like I said, it's kind of a little bit easier in some ways.
Oh yeah. Yeah, of course. And again, like you just said, I'm so grateful. And that's one of the cool things. I've filled in for Joni a couple times. She is
God
much
bless Joni.
Kinder than me. And she's a saint, but I've also had the opportunity to see the way that the Lord allows us to actually do ministry over the phone, which is crazy. Obviously, you see people do ministry over the phone all the time, and it's this whole, but once you actually get to like step into it and do it,
it's really cool.
It is really cool. And it's such a unique, and you're right. Like it does, I find myself much more often being like, actually, I would love to tell you about Jesus when I'm not like having to make eye contact with someone, because then I get scared that I'm going to like goof, which is
or
on
cry.
Me. Or cry. Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. And so it is really cool to see how that does become a ministry within itself.
Yeah. Truly. It's really cool because I'm Joni's backup. So like phones roll to me if she doesn't answer, if she can't answer. Yeah. But I also get to do like lots of other things. Like this week I got to help Sarah with stuff and I get to help Tanya with stuff. And so, but I do get a little bit of that face-to-face interaction because we're the front office. So everyone comes in. And so if Joni's busy, like I get to help people. I learned how to do the Dream Dollars recently, which... It's a whole system in and of itself.
Oh, it sure is.
But, yeah, Joni's great. And it's been, it's cool too. Cause like the first couple of days I was here, obviously like when I moved up here, from the old office, then I didn't really, answer the phones as much. Cause I wanted to make sure. I was like, I want to see how Joni does it and like how she walks them through things. And Joni's amazing. But it's cool because you do get to give them resources and like ask them if you, you know, if they need prayer or, you know, and sometimes they'll say like without prompt, they'll be like, okay, thank you so much for all this information. Will you please continue to pray for me? Like, you know, after we hang up. And so it's really cool.
Yeah. What was thinking back to, again, everything that you've walked through to this point, Stories of Hope, like the whole point of this podcast is just to help like use our stories and our life circumstance to inspire others and hopefully encourage that, like, regardless of what it may look like, there is hope out there. Can you think of a time, I know you mentioned being sick and everything, but can you think of a time either overseas or when you were teaching or, you know, that you had to like take a step back and be like, God, if you don't like take this for me, I like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, can you think of anything around that?
Yeah. So my whole life I've struggled with anxiety and depression. Okay. And that's been a series of psychiatrists, therapists, counselors, medication management, all of those things. And going overseas was really hard because it did make me more anxious.
Right, right.
Being away from home and not knowing where you're going. And I always went by myself. So that was kind of a little crazy. But that's just been like a constant life struggle for me. Right. And it goes like four generations back on both sides of my family. So it's like something I can't just not deal with. Right.
Right.
So there have been multiple times in my life where, I have had just been at a really bad low.
Yeah.
And unfortunately that does affect every area of life, including my spiritual life. And I think that's part of why it was a struggle up until recently.
Right.
Cause I recently went back on medication for the first time in 2 years. And so it all kind of helped, like new job, medication again, looking forward to a wedding.
Yeah,
so that's
like planning a wedding.
Yeah.
That's a whole other added,
stressful and exciting all at the same time. But kind of all of those things have like led up to a happier me. So that's really cool. But I cannot tell you how many times I have had to say like, God, you have to help me through this. Cause I can't do this. Obviously, like all those times being sick overseas, like that, all of those, I was like, okay, I don't know what to do anymore. But even when I was a teacher, part of my struggle with depression is I like to sleep in. My body does not like to wake up in the mornings. And I had a really early shift because I was the early morning care teacher at the private school that I worked at in Columbia. And multiple times I didn't show and parents were livid, right? Because they need to drop their kids off so they can get to work. And luckily, like I was like, God, if you, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to get fired from this job. Right. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I just like kept praying about it. And my boss at the time, she was like, we need to meet. And I was like, I'm getting like the axe. Like, this is done, right?
This
like,
is
this is it. I need to start looking for jobs. And I did. I started applying on Indeed.
Right.
But I went into this meeting and they were like, so can you, like, you've been late a couple times, like, basically like you're on your last warning, but how can we help you with this? And I was like, help me?
Right.
And they were like, yeah, we want to put a system in place so that this doesn't happen. Because I explained to them, I was like, this is a symptom of my depression and I can't control it. Like, right. I literally have 45 alarms in the morning and yeah. I still don't get up sometimes. And luckily I've got that under control now, right. Yeah. And my boss was like, okay, well, here's a system. We're going to call you at 7:00. And if by 7:15, we haven't heard from you, like, we're going to put someone else in place for you, like a sub. And I was like, really? Like, they're like, yeah. I was like, okay.
Amazing.
Wow. That's great. But it was cool how, like, God used them to, like, get to me and, like, because that's not how I expected that conversation to go at all, right? Like, but just, like, different things like that through the years. Honestly, there's so many stories. But that's been a lifelong thing that I've had to deal with. And sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
But it's really cool how he's used different people and different, like, places at different times in my life to help me get through things.
Right.
So that's really cool.
And to, like, put people in your life in jobs that are in your corner, and you don't have to, like, it's not another added,
like,
bit of anxiousness as far as, like, okay, am I going to get fired today? Is my boss going to, like, be super upset? It's really cool to hear people that, like, understand that, like, anxiety, depression, very real things. It's not, like, just some thing in your head that, like, you should just get over.
Right.
And that's really cool. That really, like, even if it's just for me, that, like, encouraged the heck out of me, just that you had people that were for you.
Yeah. It's always good to have people in your corner, but especially in situations like that, like, you're right. Not adding to it.
Yeah.
Cause that just makes it worse.
Yeah.
And that's one reason I was really excited to step back into, like, a Christian work environment. Yeah. Just because I did have such a good experience, cause it was a Christian school that I worked for at the time. So yeah.
Beautiful.
That's amazing. Love your story. Cause I, like, relate a lot to it. Cause I also went to a Bible college, and during that time, like, I've had anxiety, depression as long as I can remember, but there was a lot of, like, external circumstances going on at the time that just made everything a lot worse. Right. So I was living in Clemson, going to school in Anderson, and I had an 8 a.m. I, for the life of me, could not wake up to go to my 8 a.m. because I would be up all night, you know, crying, panic attacks, everything. So I would just sleep in. And my sweet father, every morning, would keep calling me and calling me and calling me to wake me up, because I almost failed the class because I just wasn't showing up to my 8 a.m.
Right.
And so it's, like, really encouraging to, like, hear, like, you know what? I was a Bible kid. I was doing all the ministry things, and someone else is, like, going through the same thing. So, like, I, like, relate a lot to that, and, like, I really appreciate your story because it makes me feel a little bit better about myself that I'm, like, not the only one struggling with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very cool. It's also one of my favorite things. I don't know that I've talked about The Chosen much on here, which is surprising, but.
Talk about it all the time.
Oh.
Well, not here.
Sorry, everybody.
Talk about it a lot in the office.
Oh, yeah. But one of my. In season 3, they do the Sermon on the Mount, and when Jesus gets to the part about don't be anxious about anything, they go to Andrew and they, like, show how anxiousness is, like, what he's working through. And so it's this, like, picture of everything that Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount hitting all the disciples in a certain way to where then they have to start processing, and they're hearing this teaching going, holy smokes, he, like, wrote this for me. And this is, like, so then you see him, like, go visit John the Baptist in prison, and he's, like, freaking out, like, super anxious. And John's like, do you not realize that, like, you need to open your eyes and realize that, like, Jesus has wrote this part of his sermon for you to, like, help you with this. And so it's just so cool to have that picture in my head when I think about those verses in the Bible about don't be anxious, like, if he feeds the birds, then how much better will he care for you? All these, like, all these beautiful things that Jesus said, and to then see it in reality of people that are doing it for others is just, like, I'm just so thankful for when people just click that, oh, that's not just some thing in people's heads.
Yeah.
I'm going to try not go on a tangent about it anyway. but just really, that's just, like, that just is super encouraging to me. I love that. So I'm thankful, but
me too.
Yeah. Super thankful. Well, we're about out of time here, wrapping up here in a minute. Is there anything that, like, you've been praying for lately, thinking about, or even just, like, something that you have been learning that you would just want to encourage whoever's listening with before we kind of wrap up?
That's cool that you asked that question, because I was trying to figure out, like, how am I going to get this in? Right. So part of the struggle with anxiety and depression is, like, finding things to encourage yourself with, even when there's not someone obviously, like, you know, trying to help or anything. But through my Bible study group, we just finished a study called Get Out of Your Head by Jenny Allen. And it's like teaching yourself to basically like filter your thoughts through scripture, which is really difficult. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also like really cool because we got like halfway through the study and I was like, I don't really think this is working. Like, I don't feel like I've changed anything. And then one day I was like, I just changed my thought process. So there's this whole thing about like, when you let your emotions take control, you spiral downwards. And when you let Jesus like take control, you spiral upwards. Right. And so the whole book talks about all these different like spirals of like up and down, and like how it changes your thought process. Like, and it's really cool. But, one of the things that I've kind of been learning too, like in the past year, is just like joy, even in the anxiousness,
right.
like how mm-hmm. to be happy and joyful in the Lord. Even if things don't feel so great in your head, because 99% of the time it is just in my head.
Right.
The overanalyzing and all of that stuff. But yeah, I am trying to think of the verse. There's a verse in Psalms and it basically says, the joy of the Lord like calms my anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a cool thing because giving into his joy and letting him make you happy takes away the anxiousness.
Yeah.
And I hadn't thought about that, but now looking back on different instances in life, like I can see it.
Right.
I can see where when I gave into the joy, it made the anxiety less. I didn't feel it so much, you know? But I highly recommend that book. It's a Bible study. It has a video with it and it's really cool. But I also like, that's something I've been learning.
That's amazing. And also, even as you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking, also, joy is not an emotion. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
So like, specifically joy and peace is what popped in my head. But like, those things are not things we get to feel. Those are gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They get to bear fruit in our lives. They get to be things that we get to step into and fully embrace and not like get on a joy high or a peace high. It's like, no, no, no.
Right.
These are on offer for us all the time.
Yeah.
So it's very cool. Very encouraging.
Yeah. So. I love that you said that. Cause one thing that me and Michelle, who works on our OV team here, one thing that we talked about that she has a practice set up in her life. And since she told me about it, now I do it.
Yeah.
It's every morning before I even like get out of bed, I tell like five things that I'm grateful for.
Mm.
And I go ahead and like think through the things, pray through those things and kind of like have a moment of like just being grateful. Cause I usually wake up like anxious. I'm like, I get that pit feeling in my stomach. Mm-hmm. My head would start racing. But now like, as soon as I wake up, I'm like, all right, what are my five things right now? And like, since I talked to Michelle about that, my like whole day has been changed.
That's awesome.
A lot more like joyful, a lot more grateful. I'm a little less anxious because you're starting a day with like things that you're celebrating the Lord for.
Yeah, that's very cool. I love that. Thank you for being here and for dealing with mine and Sarah's schedule, trying to get you on here to actually do this. And we've pushed it back a bunch of weeks in a row. But I truly am just one. I'm super grateful that you're a part of our team.
Absolutely.
You've been here a short time, but like I said, right before we started, like you're a ton of fun.
You're so much fun.
It's just like,
I try.
I even said yesterday in the break room, I was in a really good mood yesterday. You can ask Sarah. I was like all over the place in the office. It was a lot of energy.
Fun.
But one of the things I said to Scott and Hunter was like, Hannah's one of my favorite people because it's so easy to like, all we do is laugh.
Constantly.
It's amazing.
You're always laughing.
It's the best.
I have to.
Yeah, it's the best.
I think everything's funny. Everyone makes fun of me for like laughing at really dumb jokes, but I think they're funny. So.
It's that joy of the Lord, you know? How can you not
the
just
joy learn? Of the Lord.
That's so funny. But yeah, so I'm just super grateful that you're here and that you said yes to this. And
yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is really cool.
Yeah, a ton of fun. So, and you did a great job. So,
thanks.
Good job. But thank you guys for listening and we'll see you next week.